Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. This broadcast is going across the globe on both AM and FM radio frequencies, as well as many micro-broadcasters across America. If you are using satellite radio, we can be found on Galaxy 13, Transponder 16, Audio 7.70. If you want to listen online, you can go to WWFAR.com and click the Listen button on the left side of the screen. If you need any additional information as to what AM and FM frequencies to tune into, please stop by that website or my website at remnantofgod.org. And if you go to my site, just look for those antique radios on the main page. Click that. Everything's there. The phone number to call in is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or a cell phone, please use 559-733-5161. If you're listening to the broadcast online at firstamendmentradio.com using dial-up, and you don't have access to the second phone at this time, I invite you to join me on the website once again at remnantofgod.org. Once there, click the silver microphone on the main page. Follow the prompts to the public room in the POGM audio chat section of the website. You can share any comments or questions you have with me during the show live. I'd like to thank all of you listening again for your kind emails and phone calls. I do hope to be able to report on some of your excellent suggestions I've been getting in the emails. You know, that's one thing I like about my ministry. There's always plenty to report on regarding Antichrist. I'm never at a loss for either prophetic events occurring in historic or current events. There truly is that much information out there. You just need to know where to look. So, again, thank you for all the emails and the phone calls. Oh, and I am planning on making a collection of CDs with all the radio broadcasts on them as soon as possible from First Amendment Radio, this particular show, the Truth Provided broadcast, as well as the one that I was doing years ago in Oregon before they kicked me off the air out of fear of Vatican reprisal. So, let's get right to it. This may come as a shock to some of you. I did touch on this a little bit last week and said that I decided I was going to wait to see if the media reported on any of this, but obviously something's going on. Some of you, like me, already know that the Vatican child rape situation was a never-ending one, and you're not going to be shocked at what you're about to hear. However, all of us are sickened by the constant decadence spewing from this vat of sin in Rome. It never seems to stop, and it never seems to stop getting more and more vile. It is now apparent that whatsoever is a lie, whatsoever is dishonest, unjust, impure, disgusting, evil, vile, or glorifies Satan in any way, this is what Rome seems to want to be sharing with the world now. And I'm talking the Vatican in Rome. For years now, we have had to deal with the media pumping story after story after story about how sickening these Roman Catholic priests are regarding their antics behind closed doors with our sons. And I didn't, and it's not just, you know, because I used to be Catholic. I would consider all of those little kids our sons, you know, because I'm not Catholic now by any stretch of the imagination. Still, whenever a priest is finally convicted of child rape, the media is then allowed to share with us all the putrid details of these sodomite priests and their methods for terrorizing of these young children. It's kind of like giving them pointers for the next priest or something. I don't know why they do this stuff. It's kind of like with, you know, how they, like the regular news will tell you about how some guy built a bomb or something, you know, and yeah, give all the people all the information they need so they can do it themselves. You know, it makes about as much sense as a penny to me, but I don't know. It's the end times, folks. You're going to get all sorts of strange stuff. So one would think, with all this decadence being reported, that the numbers of Catholics would decrease gradually. Sadly, all anyone seems to be seeing in a decreasing manner is the amount of Catholic priests in the seminaries or in the churches. Reason being is some have left due to the scandals. Some of our, of course, are in jail. And some fear to become priests. I've read the articles. I've seen some of the stuff that they're saying, that they fear to become priests because of what people are going to think of them. Because most people now, when they see a Catholic priest, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Honestly, constantly you're going to be thinking about, I wonder if he's doing anything with these kids. I mean, you just can't get it out of your mind now because it's all over the place. This is one way, by the way, with the fear of the priests and them ending up in jail. I mean, praise the Lord, this is one way to slow this church down in preaching their Babylonian message and mass. However, This hasn't slowed their desire to continue on with this putrid, perverted sin of child rape. The following articles I'm about to share report on this quite graphically. I'll share my comments as the articles move on. I'm not going to read the whole article and just go with it. I'm going to share with you as we go through it, because I found a lot of things that were pretty interesting in these articles. And the sad thing is, well, when it comes to the actual Austrian seminary that was shut down, that's the only article you can find. I mean, it's on ABC. It was first showed up on Associated Press article, of course, and it ran just 10 days ago in almost every single major and minor news outlet on the globe. I mean, it's just, like I said last week, just type in Austrian seminary closed amid porn probe, and you'll see a bevy of mainstream websites that, and I'm talking MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, all of them, they're reporting on this, and they all have the exact same article. But try to find anything else. You ain't going to find it. So, let's move on with the article. And it came out Thursday, August 12th at 7:56 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It was reported by George John, of Associated Press writer, and he did it from Austria, Vienna, in Austria. He says this. A papal emissary investigating suspected homosexuality and child pornography among student priests shut down the seminary at the center of the scandal Thursday, and now acknowledging his probe had bared very painful revelations of sexual misconduct. Now, notice this before going any further. This article intimates this is a lot deeper than they are actually stating. First off, the seminary is in fact shut down by the papal emissary, and it was because of sexual misconduct. That is what happened. And yes, this is happening now, years after they got caught molesting hundreds, if not thousands, of children. And they're in lawsuits now, right now, being sued. And the U.S. governors, U.S. Government and the judges are putting a gag order on these lawsuits, and they won't be allowed to be mentioned in the media to prevent an exodus from Rome. And the only time they are allowed to be mentioned in the media is when the guy is actually convicted and sent to prison. And then we get to have all the details again, like we need to hear this stuff. Anyway, this article also states that the seminary is the center of this scandal they are investigating. I mean, that is key. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in this article that a lot of people may have missed. If you read about between the lines here, you'll see they're calling this the center of the scandal. Will the general population ever find out all the facts regarding the scandal? I don't believe that day will come until they are shout from the rooftops before all the universe. That's the only time I think we're going to find out everything that's been going on behind these doors. Does this center of the scandal comment mean the seminary is a manufacturing plant or training grounds, if you will, for young children that are more apt not to blow the whistle on their future sexual escapades? Could it be the children are being brainwashed and conditioned to allow safe child molestations by biblically defined Roman sodomites? Will this allow for molestations the priests can take part in without worrying about negative press? Or is it merely just a center location for creating, publishing, and distributing of child porn? Time will tell. The article continues. The move by Bishop Klaus Kung came 3 weeks after his appointment by Pope John Paul II to look into allegations the seminarians were hoarding child pornography and had snapped photos showing them fondling each other. Again, I apologize. I don't like reporting about stuff like this. When I was called into the ministry, I never actually thought I would have to speak of things like this. I'm a Christian. This stuff, it bothers me. It's disgusting. It's vile. It's putrid. It's perverted. But thanks to Rome, we got to talk about this because they're doing it. And they're claiming to be Christians, like the little girl that says, listen to these men, they speak the oracles of God. That certain damsel was mocking the Lord, stating in her sin that she can claim Christianity. So, key issue here is this. If photos are being taken, it is only going to be done for two reasons. Common sense affords us this reality. Truly, there are only two reasons for the photos. Number one, photos are used to advertise the children and their techniques for interested Roman priests. Or, number two, photos will be sold to those interested in such things for personal use. Is there another reason? I am hard-pressed to figure it out. You know, I've only been on the planet 40-some-odd years, and so I'm, you know, I may be missing something, but from what I understand, it's usually what those photos are used for. At least that's what the media tells us. I praise the Lord. I don't have the mind of such as these to figure out all their reasons for these photos. I'm just running with the obvious here. In any event, whatever the reason, it will not be done to glorify Christ. The article continues. A new beginning is necessary, Kung told reporters in remarks broadcast on the state-run ORF television during a news conference. I am closing the seminary right away, he said. This must be serious, I'm thinking. Why else would Rome be so blunt here to broadcast this admission of guilt over the TV waves out there in Austria and on the Internet? And remember this, Rome never shows the entire hand to the general public. You know, if they're admitting to such a blunt act as this, it must mean this situation is far worse than we are being told. You know, we know how Rome still hides certain facts about their actions during World War II. The courts are dealing with this as we speak to try to get Rome to fess up. You can read all about that on my Vatican War Crimes page in the current section of the website. And for those people that don't believe that Catholic priests won contests that were held at Nazi prison camps on trying to figure out how best to kill the people without using bullets, because bullets were going to be used in the war and they were expensive. One Roman Catholic Jesuit priest won the contest one night by killing 1,500 men, women, and children with a machete and a baseball bat. This is the kind of stuff they're being sued for. Vatican war crimes. It's on the page. And for those that don't believe that, I got the permission from the lawyers handling the case to place their phone numbers, their email addresses, and their websites on my site, on that page. If you don't believe me, give them a call, because they're the ones dealing with the lawsuits. The article continues. Kung later qualified his remarks, saying the closure would be temporary, but he gave no indication of how long the Baroque Seminary in the city of St. Poulton, that's Baroque, B-A-R-O-Q-U-E, Seminary, in the city of St. Poulton, which had trained young men for the priesthood for more than 200 years. Think of it. The young men are being trained in a way that will ensure Rome's desire for sodomy to continue on for as long as time exists on this planet. The young men are introduced to homosexuality at a very young age so as to train the child in the way he should not go. They are taught by those they feel are holy men, making it appear completely acceptable, even though the ignorant public can't understand how good it is for these young men to engage in homosexual acts. We all read, thanks to the media, about the disgusting things these priests would say to these young boys to get them to do these things. Everything from saying, would you like to kiss Jesus, to saying, would you like to make love to God? For those of you that were shocked just at that statement, those words are not my thought. I merely echoed a Roman Catholic priest. In regards to the ignorant public or saying that pedophilia was good for you, a Roman Catholic priest by the name of Hubert Beryl said that. He made those statements back in September of 2001. He actually said pedophilia acts that took place in his parish were actually good for the children. You can read that article as well as hundreds more on my RCC and sex page in the RCC exposed section of the website. RCC, of course, is Roman Catholic Church. So, the priests are sick. They are graphically possessed by Satan. It's just as Daniel prophesied concerning them. Think about the fact that the seminary has been training young men for 200 years. These young men grow to become Roman Catholic priests that have not only been molested by priests, they themselves will become child rapists, so as to further confirm Satan's prophetic desires in this decadence. The recent scandals of Rome proves this seminary has been doing this work all along. We know what happened in the USA, all the lawsuits. It's disgusting to think how, even while these lawsuits are going on, these guys are still doing it, and they get caught again, and for some reason it's getting hushed up. You can't hear about this anymore. And by the way, what do I mean by Daniel prophesying this? Go to Daniel chapter 11, verse 37. It says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Of course, talking about that Antichrist beast. He says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. This prophecy plainly states that these men will be homosexuals, and so they are. The article continues. And he did not elaborate on what his investigation had revealed. Of course he's not. He's going to keep that quiet. Beyond saying it had appeared that active homosexual relationships took shape. Active homosexual relationships means some of the boys are in love, and I do not doubt they are a bit miffed at the thought of being separated from their newfound lovers. Why else would the term active be used to describe the relationships of these boys and these men? I ask, why not tell the whole story? Because it is no doubt a lot worse than what Rome is looking or letting on. You know, like the caught rapist or the murderer topping a plea. They know the value of confessing to a lesser crime so as to escape prosecution on a more horrible offense. What amazes me here is this Roman Catholic bishop that was sent by the Pope himself is being deliberately evasive with his findings in front of the whole world. Rome is refusing to tell us the entire truth yet again. They are molesting young boys and training them to become priests, and they refuse to get into further details to protect themselves. And the media is okay with this? Of course it is. That's why I'm not allowed to preach on prime time radio out there in Oregon anymore. And that's why the majority of the people that speak on this radio station are doing so here. The media is 100% controlled now. I found that out years ago when I had that radio program out in Oregon. I had an agreement with the particular show host, if you will, to speak each week for a half an hour. Not long after I started, the person running the show pulled me off the air out of sheer terror for what he thought Rome would do. And he knew my message. I was even offered a prime spot in Rhode Island to speak weekly, not long after that, in other radio stations, if I recall correctly. After sending a demo in, this is kind of comical, the station manager informed me that the message would not be allowed to go on the air because they would pull his license immediately if I was allowed to speak on his radio station. However, off the record, he did say to me that he agreed with me 100% and thought it was a good thing that this kind of truth be broadcasted. He was just deathly afraid to do it on his Christian radio station. I thank the Lord daily for FirstAmendmentRadio.com. We get this message out globally now. It's not just a few radio stations here or there. Thanks to satellite and internet, it's all over the globe now. You know, the nice thing about the listener base is the grand majority listening know what they hear in most of these radio shows is the unadulterated truth here on First Amendment Radio. That's why they listen. Wonder how long they're going to be able to stay on the air. Just keep them in prayer, folks. Truth is truth. It's got to get out. The article continues. The Vatican inspector had promised a brisk investigation and pledged to do whatever it took to restore credibility to Austria's scandalized church. Is this going to be the same brisk investigation we see happening in the USA where all the judges have placed a gag order on the lawsuits regarding Roman Catholic child rapists? Is this the same so-called zero tolerance that was promised by the Vatican before it later was pulled off the table, allowing for this type of garbage to flourish? Remember they came in the media and they just flexed their big old muscles and said, zero tolerance, we should not have this allowed in any way, shape, or form. And then about a week later, they go, oops, can we retract that statement? You know, we shouldn't have said zero tolerance. We should have said something like, you know, well, we should have just said that we're not going to do much about it, is what I think they should have just said, because they're not really doing anything about it. And for those loyal Roman Catholics that are listening, your tithing money is used to pay lawyers for child molestation lawsuits. And not only that, it's also used to pay off child molestation lawsuits under the table, out of court settlements, and after the court settlements. Getting back on the zero tolerance thing and why they pulled it. You know, could it be the Vatican knew about the Austrian seminary as well as the countless others around the world the rest of us are unaware of? It seems that is exactly the case now. Rome knew that if they allowed for zero tolerance, their church would have no priests left in it, or not enough anyway. And the frightening thing here is this. This seminary has been training boys for 200 years. And later on in the article, you're going to find out that this isn't the first time they got in trouble in this regard. How many of us believe they just recently started getting perverted, let's just say in the last 100 years? Not many, I'm sure, are going to believe that. If Daniel saw this decadence thousands of years ago in a vision, and history records in graphic detail the putrid acts of the majority of the popes throughout the years already, I don't know if any of you have seen those lists. I should put one on my website. But I got to double verify because I want to make sure that it's accurate stuff. But some of the stories, some of the information that comes out for what each pope did during his office, like everything from these giant orgies that they used to have all the time, and or they would have these, where they have these young boys that would, I don't even want to talk about stuff like that. But these are what the popes did throughout the years. So this seminary has no doubt been doing this for its entire time it existed, and it's only been around 200 years. Truth is, folks, the satanic symbols etched in the walls of the Vatican have been there a lot longer than this seminary. So you do the math. You know that swastika that Hitler got? That's where he found it, in the Vatican. It was there long before Hitler was born. The article continues. Since the first discovery of pornographic images late last year, you mean to tell me that this has been going on almost a year now? How late last year? Was it in September? Was it in October? You know, we're already well into August. Why did they wait a whole year to shut this seminary down? Well, later in this article, you're going to find out exactly why they didn't say anything for a whole year. And the only reason they said, well, I'll let the cat out of the bag in a little while. I'm going to save that one for later. So the article continues. Authorities have found, and I hope you're sitting down, authorities have found over 40,000 photos and numerous videos, including child pornography, on computers at seminaries, at the seminary in the Diocese of St. Pölten, which is about 50 miles west of Vienna. You know what 40,000 photos means, people? It means mass production. This is not... See, this is the kind of stuff I'm finding in this article. This is just the one article. And why no one else is reporting on this is, like, confusing the daylights out of me. Even Zenit, and I get Zenit daily, because they don't know I'm getting it. Whenever they find out it's me, they usually stop sending it to my email address, but I don't know why they're sending it lately to me. But they're not even talking about this. Haven't heard a thing one from them, and that's a Catholic organization. It's constantly, every day, it's got 10 or 15 articles. It's always, most of them, about ecumenicalism. Gigantic group hug, like the Tower of Babel. You know, 40,000 photos means mass production. This is not an isolated case by any means now. If there were a few dozen photos, well, then maybe we could understand this is an isolated case and there's some one priest that's a little bit perverted and just kick him out and everything be hunky-dory. But however, you know, you don't generate 40,000 photos on computers or off computers for just a few of the local yokels. You don't have that many photos, even for a small city. This has to be a global ring. This seminary is actually shaping up to actually be a well-organized child pornography centralized location by the looks of it. I mean, didn't they say in the article that this is the center of the scandal? It sure did. But how will the media handle it? It wouldn't be the least bit, I wouldn't actually be the least bit surprised that this is the last article on this seminary for a long time, if at all. Especially after you hear some of the comments the Vatican made regarding what that bishop was saying to the media. Yeah, I purposely waited a week. For those of you that listen, know that last week I said I wanted to report on this last week, but I decided I'm going to wait. I want to see if anything else comes up. Purposely waited a week. Because I've seen stuff similar to this before, like with that gay wedding, or not gay, the homosexual wedding stuff that was going on in Canada. I was going to wait a couple of weeks before saying anything, and that was a dumb mistake because they did something within 6 days. So I figured, you know, I jumped right on it right away then. So again, I purposely waited a week, as I mentioned in last week's broadcast, to see how this would pan out. And I scoured the internet each day for any info on this story, because I'd like to be, you know, to give you guys and girls, whoever's listening, a little bit more information as to what's going on here. But there's not a speck to be found. Just this same old article I'm sharing with you is found on all these websites. The article continues. Other photographs of seminary students kissing and fondling each other and their older religious instructors at the seminary also have been found. Some of the photos were published in Austrian media and triggered a public uproar. That prompted Pope John Paul to dispatch Kung, Bishop Kung, as an apostolic visitor to contain the scandal. We'll get into that after the break. You kind of can see what's going on here as to why they decided to start talking about it now, right? If it wasn't for that good soul, that one person that took some of those pictures and had them posted in the Austrian media, you probably wouldn't hear about this at all right now. Stick around. See you after the break. Welcome back, everyone. This is Nicholas again from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. The phone number to call in is 1-800-858-6582. If you lose using long distance or unlimited, if you have unlimited long distance on your cell phones or house phones, just call 559-733-5161. And for those of you that, especially in the Sabbath-keeping realm, that are interested in a prophetic event that's happening in your lifetime, go to sdrvoice.org. That's an acronym for Seventh Day Remnant Voice. So SDR. S is seventh, D, of course, day, R, remnant, and then voice.org. SDRvoice.org. No hyphens or underscores or nothing like that. All right, getting back. Right before the break, I shared that one section in the article that stated that some of the photos were published in Austrian media and triggered a public uproar, and that's what prompted Pope John Paul to dispatch that bishop to the seminary to check him out. So, I guess the Vatican won't move until it literally hits the fan, right? This is what I was talking about a minute ago. The Vatican knew about this mess last year, the article said. It's late last year. But no Vatican official was sent at all. I mean, come on, this is common knowledge now, folks. They admitted it in the article. No Vatican official was sent from late last year until somebody had enough brains to publish some of those pictures in the Austrian media, because they knew the Vatican wasn't going to do anything about it. They didn't care. Because this is modus operandi. This is how they are. If that person decided to ignore the mess, no one would have ever known about this, and Rome would never have sent anyone to check into it. And the priests that get into this sin would still have that place in Austria where they can go for their week off and enjoy whatever they want to enjoy. That is now an easy reality to surmise. The evidence is clear. If, in fact, the Vatican was concerned for these little kids, why did they wait until the pictures were published a year later before they did anything about it? You know, that sickens me. I mean, and the thing that bothers me is they're not going to get in any trouble for this. Until Christ gets here, of course. But they don't seem to think he's coming. Peace and safety. As a matter of fact, I got an article on the website a couple of years ago. The Pope says, we are not in the end times. Jesus is not coming back. The article stated plainly that the Vatican admitted they were investigating this since last year. Truth be known, if it wasn't for the public getting wind of this, they probably would still be doing what they call a brisk investigation. I don't know. You know, this is a church of liars, people. And I'm not talking about the Catholics, not themselves. I'm talking about the leaders here. The leaders in Rome lied about the killings during the Dark Ages. And when they realized it was no longer advantageous to hide or lie about them or to try and hide their past, the Pope does a bogus apology of all those murders in a mea culpa on March 12, 2000, so as to spike the public relations numbers back up there. The Vatican also lies about Hitler. And now they are going back and forth and back and forth in court on how to let the facts out regarding their part in the Ustashi Nazi prison camps. They're also being tried for their part in the $150 billion money laundering insurance scam, where the court proceedings sound like a character list for an epic in a Nazi crimes war film. I've got all that info on the Vatican War Crimes page in the current events section of the website, too. It's all right there. The Vatican also lied about all those child rapists that they shuffled from church to church to church to church for now what appears to have been centuries. And now we have all sorts of evidence they lied here as well. Fact is, if they're doing it now, and Daniel said they would be doing it all along, who are we to say it only started a few decades ago like the liars in Rome say now? Oh, this molestation problem only happened in the 50s, started in the 50s. They've lied about everything else and got caught lying about it. I can remember when I was young in the ministry and I started telling people about how the Catholic Church killed all those millions and millions and millions of people, and everybody always, even the priests and the bishops that I would run into, would say, oh, no, they would nothing. No, they didn't do anything like that. No, stone-faced liars right to my face. No, they didn't do anything like that. That's just a vicious rumor. And then on March 12, 2000, their Pope admits they did it. So they lied, and they got caught. What happens when somebody lies in court, folks? What happens in a court of law when somebody lies? They're no longer trusted at all. But thank God, they're going to be setting up a brisk investigation, eh? The article continues. Two of the institution's 36 students left the seminary earlier this summer. Those who want to continue studying for the priesthood will have to undergo a fresh screening process, Kung said. A fresh screening process? Are you kidding me? I mean, will they have a bunch of Roman Catholic priests watching over them like before? I mean, this doesn't seem to be... Will they create a committee to watch over them made up of Roman Catholic sodomite priests? You know, the history of this church is disgusting, putrid, evil, and nothing but a cesspool of fleshly desires. Perhaps they should reword the statement they just made. Instead of a fresh screening process, it should be best worded if it was a flesh screening process to see whether or not these guys that want to come in and learn to be priests at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 11 years old we better make sure, first of all, they got to be orphans. That way their parents are going to be getting in our faces. And second of all, will they talk? If not, yeah, let them in. And if, in fact, they do create a committee, one can be sure it will investigate the boys coming in to make sure they don't talk. It won't be to protect the boys that the screening process will be set up for. This is a lying pack of leaders. It will be designed to protect Rome and their fleshly desires alone. They lied to us repeatedly about these molestations. They're in court now being sued left and right and said, oh, we'll never do it again. This is a isolated incident happening thousands of times, but they keep saying, I never forget the one family up in, I think it was in Minnesota, the Vatican tried a new legal technique. They decided to sue the family for allowing them, you know, the family, they were going to sue the family for allowing, they were going to sue the parents for allowing the parents or allowing a priest to babysit their son. You should not have allowed our priest to babysit your son, and because you did, we're going to sue you. What is that telling you, folks? They're going to try and say, look, we already know he's a homosexual child rapist, and you should have known that. Hey, he's a Catholic priest. You should have known that. You shouldn't let him babysit your son. I only heard like one or two articles. I got it on the website, by the way. It's in the RCC and sex page. And there was only like one or two articles about that, and I guess they just dropped that idea. Didn't work out well. And then there was that one spoof that said that that one article, it was a spoof. It wasn't true. At least from my records, I found it wasn't true. They said that the Vatican was going to tell the kids that they have to repent for the sin of turning on the priest or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But from what I understand, that was a spoof. It was just somebody just making fun of the Vatican. Not sure. Yeah, see, thank you. Barry C. in the text chat just said that Charles Chiniquay's book tells of indoctrinating young boys in the 1800s. And I hear some real horror stories. Some of the stuff that they stopped doing in the 1930s and 40s, where they would castrate little boys. And the reason they would do that is so they would keep their young voices when they would sing in the choir to the Pope. Because if they weren't young, if they didn't have the young voices, the tantalizing effect that the pedophile desires wouldn't be there. If it's just a bunch of young men, it's a lot more exciting, I guess, for them if it's boys. But I don't know. So, anyway, getting back, the article says, prosecutors investigating the child pornography aspect of the case had charged a 27-year-old former seminary student from Poland with possessing and distributing illicit material, a federal offense punishable by up to 2 years in prison. He goes on trial Friday. There you have it. This proves it was a distribution center. This is no longer some local problem now. Plus, keep in mind, the computers that had the 40,000 pictures were no doubt, and they were also 40,000, no, I'm sorry, there were 40,000 pictures that you can hold in your hand. The computers had a bunch more as well. These pictures were no doubt online, distributing the pictures worldwide as well. The 40,000 pictures can be easily reproduced with computers as well as mass distributed around the world via the Internet. You know, I wonder if it was just dumb luck that the officials came across some seminary student distributing the photos. Just dumb luck. I doubt it. The article continues. You tell this gets my blood up a little bit because it just saddens me that, you know, what really bothers me is that the people that stay in the church when this stuff's happening, especially people that have children, it boggles my mind why they would stay in. Why would you, you know, put your child at risk? Is it worth it? The article continues. It says, local Bishop Kurt Tren, whose close ties to the Vatican led to the papal visit to his diocese in 1998, has now listen to this. He has refused to resign despite mounting pressure. The church ordered him to stop speaking to the media after he described the photos of priests kissing and fondling as childish pranks and made other comments downplaying the affair. You know, do we have another cardinal law in the making here? Well, it appears to me we do. Perhaps Rome will promote this priest as they did Law just a few months ago. Just about every single media outlet reported back in May of this year, 2004, that Cardinal Bernard Law was appointed by the Pope to a ceremonial but highly visible post in Rome, outraging many in the archdiocese. Law left in a disgrace at the height of the clergy's sex scandal, yet Rome promoted him. I mean, does this not tell us where the Vatican's priorities lie? And or it is, plus, did you also notice this? The article stated the Vatican specifically ordered the bishop in Austria, who's running the seminary, to stop talking to the media about the scandal. I mean, is this not legal? I mean, illegal activity? How can the Vatican presume to be quiet about this? What about those young boys and their legal rights? Why aren't the people allowed to know of the danger to their children regarding the seminary? What about the people that live nearby with little boys in the neighborhood? It appears blunt to me that this new problem for Rome seems a lot worse than they're actually saying. Why else would they admit so much in one little article? But will it ever be reported on again? So far, it's been a media blackout. In fact, I scanned the web every single day since the story broke, and I found nothing new. The article continues. Kung, a Feldrich, Austria, of Feldrich, Austria, is a member of Opus Dei, the conservative Catholic organization. His diocese is in the southwestern Austrian province of Vorarlberg. Opus Dei? One of the most evil and secretive collection of sodomite priests that have ever come out of Rome, this long-established Roman Catholic mini-dictatorship promotes everything from open hatred of women, as was illustrated quite graphically by their founder, Javier Excaveria, to out-and-out cultic practices they use in controlling the minds of their captured members. And now we see they have direct ties to this scandal in Austria. You know, perhaps this is the reason for the media blackout. I wonder. Well, time will tell. The article continues. It says, he said the decision to close the seminary had been with the full knowledge of the Vatican in Kren. The Vatican appoints an apostolic visitor when it receives allegations of grave irregularities at an institution or a diocese. This happened before in Australia. In 1998, an American Benedictine monk was sent on an inspection tour of a monastery where an Austrian cardinal, Hans Hermann Grohe, was accused of sexually molesting young boys. The American's findings were never made public. But Grohe later relinquished all his duties in the church and left Austria, which is a sign of guilt. He didn't end up in jail. No jail time. But it was never made public? In other words, he was never prosecuted, nor did he ever serve jail time for raping those young boys. Where have we seen this before? Oh, yeah, that's right, in the USA. Rome hid these facts for decades, right here in Ireland. I recall when I was a youth how the priests in our parish seemed to disappear from time to time, and the pastor would lie and say the Lord called them, the priest, to a better position elsewhere. Well, we found out later it was a lie when the priest raped yet another child in some new parish, and the parents of that child weren't swayed by the Roman payoff. They decided not to take the $50,000 or $100,000 or $150,000 payoff to keep quiet about it, like the other parents did. They went to the media with it, and that priest got 40 years in jail. You may recall the priest's name. It was Norman Mayday. Yeah, just like Mayday, Mayday. I imagine some of them young boys were screaming Mayday. Truth is, after he raped a few boys in one town, the Vatican sent him down the road to the next town. He used to take me to baseball games and hockey games. He never did anything to me, because they only go after the kids that are quiet and shy and stuff like that. And I was kind of boisterous and kind of a punk, so he didn't mess with me. But he liked all the boys. We always used to play the hockey. I mean, he was very, very magnetic to the kids. My parents used to have priests over at least once a week, and he used to come over often. I wasn't kidding when I said I was Catholic. I was very Catholic. Eucharistic minister. I went to Mass every day. I mean, I'm not kidding. I was a devout Catholic. I wasn't just like most Catholics, where the grand majority of them just claim Catholicism, but they go to church, if at all, once a year. Christmas or Easter, maybe. Anyway, the article finishes off by saying, Kren was criticized at the time for defending Grohe and insisting the cardinal was innocent of pedophilia charges. Isn't that something? This same bishop, who's now in the middle of another child molestation scandal, that refuses to resign, lied about a previous priest that was forced to resign due to his molestation charges. And now the same bishop, Bishop Krenn, K-R-E-N-N, is actively involved in yet another child molestation scandal. And like always, Rome will defend his right to cover up all the decadence he has seen during his career as the ultimate pedophile defender. Can anyone besides me see a pattern here? The bishop defended a child rapist in the past and failed. And now he's doing it again? This also fuels the assumption that this seminary has been the central location of a child pornography ring. And what amazed me the most here is everyone knows this seminary is now guilty because of the 40,000 pictures and videos. And the powers that be looked the other way when the Vatican tried to cover it up. You know, if any other organization was involved in this kind of activity, they'd be shut down immediately and there'd be a bunch of people in jail. But because it's the vet of sin, it is the place where the devil set up shop on planet Earth. If you don't, you know, here's a good way to, for those Catholics, and I pray you're listening, that are having an opportunity, let's say in the next year, to go to the Vatican. Do me a favor. Well, you'll probably bring a camera, but do me a favor when you go there. Take a picture of the walls. Take a picture of the floors. Take a picture of some of the statues and some of the shapes that they have their hands in and some of the symbols they have on their bodies. Take a picture of some of the doorknobs in the Vatican. Okay? And then when you come home, go to your local library. I'm not saying take the book out. Just open it up in your local library. You could probably find it. It's called the Book of Magique or the Pagan Symbol Book. And find all those symbols that you have in the Vatican, and you tell me if you don't find them in those satanic books. The exact, and find out what they mean, too. You'll find out exactly what your church is doing. It is the ultimate attack on Jesus Christ. Jesus said they will come as sheep, or they'll come as wolves in sheep's clothing, right? The devil is not going to set up shop on planet Earth and have this big, decadent, liver-rotted, filled-up, this putrid-looking building somewhere on the planet and have all this evil spew from it, and all the Christians are going to go, oh, let's steer clear of that place. No, he's going to have a place set up to where everybody's going to think it's holy. The ultimate way to destroy something is from within. I mean, if you don't believe that, check out with how governments have spies. They infiltrate and destroy from within. That's the ultimate way to do it. I mean, what better way to destroy Christianity than to have somebody standing up in front of a group of people saying, hi, I'm a Christian, and he pulls out a gun or something. I mean, look at the Muslims, for example. The Muslims think Christians are insanely evil people, and the only reason they think Christians are insanely evil is because of what the Catholic Church did to them. And they think the Catholic Church is the Christian Church. Now, if I can get through this next article, it's a short one. I could probably get through it quick. I'd like to try, but I wanted to share this one as well simply because it kind of ties in here. Headline, Catholic priests admit homosexual subculture. CNSnews.com, Saturday, August 17, 2002. So this is just a few days ago, this article came out. Amidst persistent rumors that the Catholic Church is harboring homosexual clergy, the association, now listen who's doing this report. The Association for the Sociology of Religion Friday released the results of a survey confirming the reality. It took them this long? Or is this, they now seek to jump to the right on this one so that they can appear immoral? Prophecy stated thousands of years ago that this church would harbor homosexual men, and this Association for Sociology of Religion, no less, is just realizing this now? I thought that they were the Sociology of Religion. Anyway, the article continues. It says, church policy does not implicitly forbid ordaining homosexual men, although the Vatican does not endorse the action. Let me read that again. Roman Catholic Church policy does not implicitly forbid ordaining homosexual men, although the Vatican does not endorse the action. Here, the association discovers that the Roman Catholic Church policy does not forbid ordaining homosexual men. And again, this is looked upon as no big deal by the way the Vatican states it doesn't endorse the action. Such double talk on a topic that, biblically speaking, is in fact spoken of in a forbidding manner. homosexuality in both Old and New Testament theology is a blunt an abomination unto God. Yet the largest known organized group of sodomite priests states their church policy does not forbid ordaining these homosexual men to work for the same God that calls what they're doing an abomination. It's like, is your head spinning yet? The article continues. It says, according to the survey, more than half of all Roman Catholic priests identified a homosexual subculture in their diocese or seminary, the Washington Post reported. Now, keep in mind, people, most priests will lie. We know this, by the way, they have been caught lying so many times already. And most people that are into sin, especially perverted sin such as this, will also lie to hide their embarrassment. So this figure is most assuredly a lot higher than they're letting on again. And the article actually reflects that fact a little later. The article continues. It says, a survey of 1,200 priests conducted in the spring of 2001 did not question the priest's sexual orientation, but merely collected the impressions of their environment. Results show that 90% of the priests said a subculture clearly existed in the diocese of the religious institute, and 36% said it probably did. Homosexual activity in seminaries was revealed to occur at 19 to 26% respectively. Now look, Daniel says they will be homosexuals. The Bible also says they will be liars. When you have a bunch of sexually deprived young men who have homosexual tendencies already ingrained in them by their seminary teachers, you then calculate that figure to be a lot higher than 26%. Again, when Rome agrees to admit to certain sins, you gotta know they're admitting to the lesser crime again. It's not something that's hard to understand anymore. For example, let's say you're a car thief. You've been doing it for years, been stealing dozens and dozens and dozens of cars. You get caught one night in a stolen car, and you're arrested. Do you jump at the chance to admit to the dozens of cars that you never got caught stealing in the first place, that to the arresting officer when he asks? I know it sounds like a stupid question, but of course not. Human nature is to admit to the lesser crime so as to get off easier. Rome knows they're sick. Rome also knows it's a lot worse than they're saying. For years, they said child molestation was not at all. Then they started to say, well, it's minuscule. Then they got caught in a massive way. Rome also knows if they admit to even one-tenth of their sins, the people will be so flabbergasted that they will figure, well, it can't be much worse than this. And so they admit to it. They will think Rome is changing or something. And look at what they admitted to. Look at what the Pope asked for forgiveness on in March 12th of 2000. Truth is, the real story lies in what they are not admitting. Case in point. Roman Catholic, the Vatican itself, admitted to killing the millions of people during the Dark Ages, right? They did this, March 12th. The following week, they admitted this, the Jewish nation stepped up to ask them to also admit to what they did with Hitler. Did Rome do that? No way. They knew if they did, it would cause billions of dollars in lawsuits because some of those they tortured and killed had living relatives waiting at the courtroom doors. Plus, many that survived the Holocaust would step up as well. So they lied. In fact, they caused major problems for the Jews immediately after the request was made. It's kind of like what the USA does. They lock files until a certain year knowing that all people involved would be dead. For example, the JFK situation is locked until 2038. So, there's a lot more information to share on this. Of course, you can go to the website and check it out at www.remnantofgod.org. Thank you again for listening. Thanks go out to FirstAmendmentRadio.com for letting this kind of a truth go out so freely. Please check out the rebroadcast, if you can, on Wednesdays at 2 o'clock Central Time, p.m., that is, and midnight on Saturday evenings, Central Time. See you next time, everybody. God bless.